had a great memorial service the other day for Bob Bryant. It's not always that you have such an avenue or an atmosphere of ministry in scenarios like that, but there really was. Verse 31. Let me go back. Let me stop just a second. We read of the scenario of Satan becoming before the throne of God and perusing, going here and there. The dialogue between God and Lucifer, Satan, son of perdition. He's so many things. And he says, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yes, I have. And I recognize that you have a hedge about him. There's a covering upon his life. And then he begins to communicate the idea that if you'd lower that hedge and let me at him, you wouldn't be so proud about him. Because I'd get to him. And so, you know, you wonder that through time, is that the only conversation that ever took place like that over one man? I doubt it. I highly doubt it. But we get some glimpses there. We get a glimpse of God's hand of protection upon those who pursue him. And a covering upon those that appeal to God. Amen for that covering. And that when we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. And so we see this picture in Job. We read about this encounter in the book of Luke concerning the Lord and one of his believers, one of his chosen. This is pre-outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This is pre-establishing of the birth of the New Testament church, which is going to come into play. But this is at a transition time, and God is communicating to one of his believers, but also one of his called, his chosen. Now, if you go post-Holy Ghost, enacting of the church in the earth, you'll discover that we are all a chosen people, a royal generation, a holy priesthood. These are believers filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being baptized in his name according to the scripture. When, you know, sometimes when people say, God's in all of us. Well, we know that's not true. But the reference is to a blood-bought church whom he cares for dearly. And so he comes to one of his dear ones and says, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Boy, that'd be a scary statement to hear from the Lord. Yeah? And? But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. If you go back and read in previous scriptures concerning this man, Peter, who was a fisherman, whom God called out and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. There were times that he would open his mouth in boldness, only to be shut down. The Lord is having a dissertation, an encounter with his with these men, and he asks the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They begin to dialogue casually and give answers, and then all at once it is Peter who stands up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He probably wondered, where'd that come from? And the Lord says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Through spiritual inspiration, you just received a nugget, a truth. And he begins to build him up, and wow, you got that from God. And before they're closing out the dialogue, he begins to tell them, now I'm going to have to go into Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified, or, you know, I'm going to be suffer these things. And Peter stops him and says, no, there's no way. That's not going to happen. You know, he's feeling, he's still on the high of his pat on the back. And the Lord says to him, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. I don't know how far you'd duck. I don't know where you'd want to sit. I think I'd move to the back of the room. And you see in the life of this man, chosen, called out. Through the process of these 3.5 years, he's got highs, he's got lows. He's got victories, he's got failures. He's got mistakes. And it would appear as though, at times, the Lord's picking on this guy. It's almost like he is taking him through this process. Build him up a little bit, knock him down a little bit. Build him up a little bit, knock him down a little bit. Build him up a little bit, knock him down a little bit. I'll never forget in my earliest years in Yakima, one day after a service, I was asked to speak. And I thought I had it, and I didn't have anything. And I wondered where it went. And I thought to myself, what is up with that? I don't ever want to do this again. Why wasn't it like the last time? Why wasn't it like when the anointing was there and it was so easy and there was a flow? And this time it was like, did God, you know, lose the address? Where is he? And I remember telling my pastor that. He said, oh, it's okay, son. It'll happen like that quite often. He said, he's trying to help you. He wants you to be completely dependent upon him and not upon yourself. So I approached the pulpit very gingerly from that point forward every time. Every time. Oh God, are you sure? Okay. Dear God, please don't let that happen again. I hated that feeling. And so we see this process this God-called man is going through. And now the Lord gets so specific, he says, look, Satan wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to rip you apart. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Don't you find it interesting? He didn't pray that he would be delivered from the trial or the trouble or the shaking or the torment or these things, the sifting, but that his faith would not be lost in the process. And as we continue on with him, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And the Lord said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And then we read through the encounters, and it's almost like there's a distance now between he and the Lord, and he is confronted by somebody. Weren't you with him? No, I don't know who you're talking about. No. You're one of those Galileans. Your speech betrays you. No. I don't know what you're talking about. They don't stop. This confronting keeps going on. Finally, he just, you know, blows off and swears at him and leaves. What was it that the Lord was praying for Peter about? Now he'd gone through this scenario. He sees him as at a distance. And now he's denied him in his personal life. And then what happens? Oh, the barrage. The barrage of blame. The barrage of accusation. The accuser of the brethren going to work. I told you. The battle at this point is not whether Peter can continue under his calling. It's whether he can survive the self-abuse of his own failure. You want to pray with me? Jesus, precious, precious, precious Savior, precious Savior, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Peter was a man of great faith, I believe. Lord, if it be you, bid me come on the water. Everybody else is hiding in the ship. Everybody else is scared for their lives. If it, you know, it's a ghost. No. If it be you, Lord, bid me come on the water. And he steps out of the boat and lets go. It would appear, of course, you read the story, you know, it's not long. He's walking in the water and he says, whatever, however, he takes his eyes off Jesus, whatever happens, he starts sinking. And it's the Lord that pulls him out. It wasn't the Lord's intent to drown him to show how weak he was. But even in the midst of the expression of his faith, he allows this failure of faith processing. Could I say bringing a balance to this man? When you consider the process, you see the Lord, removing, strengthening. He's bringing these adjustments to this man's life because he has a plan for this man. And those things will truly be a hindrance to the man if they don't get settled in this previous state. The Lord called him out on the water in the middle of a storm. The Lord provided the circumstance that could destroy Peter's life. And then he just gave him a taste. Here's where I want you to walk. Here's where you can walk. Here, let's try this for a little bit. But it just gives him a piece of it. And then he allows him in the midst of all that faith on the water to begin to lose it and fall and go down into a drowning situation. He allows for that. I think sometimes he sets it up. And we go into those situations and we think, man, why can't I get this right? You'd have thought Peter'd say that if anybody. Situation after situation. Here's something to consider. He's got a whole handful of apostles. We hardly read the other men's names very often. They're all apostles. They're all involved. They were at the table when, you know, I'll get up and wash your feet. I'll wash your whole body. Getting himself in trouble. You wonder sometimes reading the life of Peter that really it wasn't necessarily by selection for Peter, but Peter survived the process. We don't read about the other men's failures or strengths or acts of faith in any great way, but out of these 12, the Lord's allowing for situations, and there's this one guy that continues to surface up and survives the beating back down. Satan desires to sift you. These were small tests. Now we're fixing to have the large test. But I want you to know, I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail in the midst of this process. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. You're going to go through this process. I've prayed that you make it through and contain your faith. And when you get on the other side, there's going to be such a change in you that your brethren are going to look to you. And you will have something. How many times do we wish to abort the process? How many times do we consider the scripture, look, I'm not going to put anything more on you than what you can bear. We think, no, you crossed the line this time. I can't bear this. Let's go back and take another run at this. Let's not get up so close to the line. Pray with me. Come on. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let there be free reign of your spirit, I pray, and a clear sound of your voice. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. I've read in some old books about some of the ministries of various men and times. And we read about what they called, the term was revival. But in the midst of those situations, what stood clear was, is there were things that surfaced throughout those meetings. Oftentimes there was a giving of themselves to prayer. Oftentimes it may have even been circled around the ministry of a particular minister. But in the process, what is significant of what we read is, and you've read these stories, that there were healings, there were repentings, there were situations that bore weakness that came to the surface and addressed, returned with strength. And there were great moves of God that moved on from those things. I hope I'm not being too general for you. But I have felt a purging. There's something that has been set in motion from the past couple of weeks as Brother Shelton was here, as he was ministering. I don't point to the man, I point to the event of what chosen of God and the flow that he yielded himself to, the Spirit of God set some things in motion. And the evidence is some of the stuff that surfaces that God's wanting to heal and to help throughout the body. No isolated situations here, I promise you. But throughout the body, many individuals. Pray with me one more time. Give yourself to prayer and to praise unto God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Why don't you stand with me for a minute? Come on, I'm really telling you. Let's get focused wholly upon him. Let our spirits cry out to him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. Come on. We grant liberty, I pray, in the name of Jesus. You're worthy of our praise, Lord. You're worthy of our praise, Lord. It's you we hunger for. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, come on. The spirit world has been disturbed in the name of Jesus. The spirit world has been disturbed by the going forth of a clear sound, the established word of God. The worlds are settled upon that word in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus' name. Please be seated. You observe a child learning to walk, or maybe you can go back that far yourself, I don't know. How does one learn to walk? By falling. The development of strength comes in the struggle. It's not in the ease of a guided place. Muscles are strengthened. Bones are strengthened. Getting up. Getting up. It's not the smooth course. It's getting up again. Getting up again. Those calves begin to strengthen a little bit. And so a child learns to walk by the falling and the getting back up. Why would the writer need to say, a righteous man falleth seven times and gets back up again? Why does it say that? What's the need for that? Righteous man, the righteous man, fallen seven times. I didn't count the times that Peter seemed to crash and burn, but it was multiple times. And in the process of what was developing in his life, it didn't come out of perfection. But there's something about the struggle out of another failure that begins to steer an individual in a straighter line. There's even cautions that develop in an individual to keep from getting bruised again. I mean, you fall, it hurts. You hit things. Yeah. It causes bruises that you become sensitive to. And so, even in the youngest of life, the course corrections are made. Ooh, I spotted that dip in the road. I will avoid the dip in the road. I don't want to be bruised again. And so I learned to navigate through. I'm doing my best to bring these natural things for these spiritual parallels. So it is in our walk. I don't know why it is that we pick up sometimes this idea that when we come to the Lord, then everything is perfect, perfection, rosy, toasty. Because it's almost like the man or the woman that comes to the Lord begins to see inconsistencies, inadequacies. When they looked at the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things shine on our weaknesses. He desiring to be our strength. So we have this development process of working together with Him. So Peter's denied him. He's denied him three times in the same day. The guy that thought he was maybe the strongest and the most committed and devoted denied him three times in the same day. Worse than that, the Lord told him before the night's out. That must have been shock. You got to be kidding me. You must be talking about somebody else. I'm committed. Peter, do you love me? Well, of course I love you. Why would you ask such a question? Feed my sheep. Peter, you know, three times. Why do you keep asking me this? You know, you wonder, are there others around hearing this? Is he doing this in front of everybody else? Is he doing this to be mean? He's shaping. He is strengthening. I never thought until today of the idea of giving opportunity. You know, the whole idea of many being called, few chosen. Brother Shelton is using the statement, few choose too. There's a choice of man to pursue and to follow. He may choose us out. He may call us. And he does. But if he calls the group, and only one or two become responsive to these various situations that are a proving ground, watch what happens. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Here, let me go back. You're familiar, second chapter, verse 1. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. A rushing mighty wind filled all the house where they were sitting. Supernatural things taking place. Supernatural things happening. Almost like a commotion. People are praising God and they begin to speak with other tongues. And the description of the word is that there are tongues of fire that sat upon each of them. As they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, I would imagine people got to be looking around a little bit. What in the world is this? And then Peter, standing up with the 11, said, "These men are not drunken with wine, as you suppose." You know the scripture. But the Holy Ghost comes upon a man and he responds and begins to declare what is taking place. Through the process of time, we see a balanced man, we see a processed man that at the least, you know, they would bring people out of the city and at the least Peter's shadow passing over them, they might be healed. When you compare the dynamic, now you can point and say, well, yeah, he was now filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I've observed a lot of people filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've observed a lot of things that they do, but I would dare say it was the processing of this man, pre-Holy Ghost, and then into this conversion experience that he had received, had shaped him, had strengthened him, had readied him for an hour that was coming upon the earth, and at the establishing of the church of the living God. This man became a valuable vessel in the kingdom. Not because he had become perfect, but I promise you, there were many adjustments that had taken place in his life through the process of the ups and the downs, the victories and the failures. And for Peter, it was primarily failures. Let's pray again. Let your spirit pray. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus, I thank you, my Father. I thank you, my Father. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. In the name of Jesus. Jesus addressed the Pharisees many times. That religious sect of people who presented themselves as the godly, the holy, the chosen. Jesus addressed them many times, not for the things that they did, but for the reason for the things that they did. For the Bible says that they did what they did to be seen of men. In other words, their consciousness was always about eyes on me. I'm going to do this thing in this way because I want these other men to look to me or respect me or think I'm cool, or a lot of it married to the ego of a man. The Lord rebuked them, but not for what they did, but because the motive of what they did. What they did in such a way, in such a fashion, and in their mindset, to be seen of men. We could crucify Facebook over this right now. The medium that's been provided for people to do this on a daily basis. I met a man in South Florida. It was communicated to me by another minister of that man's failure. Now, I had met the man post-failure several years. All the ministering brother that I was dialoguing with could recite was the man's failure. And it was the first time it ever came to me, I think. And I answered him back with a statement. I said, you know, some men don't have enough failure. Man, he looked at me and he said, what? I said, yeah. Some men don't have enough failure. So everything they do to preserve themselves in the eyes of other men. They either do or they don't do, depending on what they think others might think. Sounds kind of pharisaical to me. But because this man had failed, he stopped thinking about what others thought of him and became so available in the kingdom of God that the Lord began to use him to the place that he has four congregations now around the country. But he stopped that. He stopped thinking about what others thought about him. He just went and did the work of God. Let your failures serve you well. Every one of us. Let our failures serve us well in the kingdom of God. Perfection will take place on the other side. Amen. Brother Johnstone, if you're able to do anything
here. Let's stand together. And as we've done several times over the past few moments of time, would you avail yourself to the Spirit of God and begin to pray? In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Ye caro no robori arabashi arani alaboro maye. I calalaboro muri aramani alabashi aron no robori aramaye. I lorobosi arani alamoro muri arani alabashi aron no romori aramaye. I lorobosi arani alamando robori arama chiarane alabaye. Rondoria rama randi rondo roboria alabashianaye. I pour out myself before you, Father, in this hour. You who knows all of my shortcomings, Father. You who knows the beginning from the end. You who sees every failure. You who sees every stumble. You who sees every fall. You sees every mistake, Father. I pour myself out before you today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, it is that you desire, Father. It is that you have chosen. Let me be reminded in this moment of time that it is me with all of those things that you have chosen. It wasn't your choosing in spite of those things, but it was your choosing inclusive of those things. You knew that I would fail. You knew that I would stumble, Father. Irandeya koroburi aranamaya shiarande aranabo korobahaye. Irande iranabo shiarande aranabo korobaharabaye. Irorode aranamaya shiando roburi aranamaya kiarande aranabo hoshonori aranabaye. Irondori aranamaya shiarande aranabo roburi aranabaki aranabaye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I feel strongly in this moment right here that there are individuals that because of failures, you've disqualified yourself. You've disqualified yourself from the genuine calling of God that you know is on your life and things that you've experienced pre-failure, even post-failure. Pre-failure, you experienced an anointing and authority that operated through your life that just absolutely blew you away. And then there was failure. And then post-failure, you experienced that same anointing or you desire to experience it, but the enemy's voice is in your ear telling you that God will never use you that way again because you've stumbled or fell or made a poor decision. That is not the voice of God. The word of God that's gone forth today is confirmation to you concerning those things.
His plan is still in place. Ephesians 3:20 says in the KJV, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." But if you put Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified Bible up there, it says, "Now unto him that is able," and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't know what from memory, but him that is able to basically, with his power that's residing in you, by the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose. His power that he put in you is still able today to carry out his purpose for you. It's not going to be in you. It's going to be by his grace. If you're trying to figure out how you can do enough good things to undo all the bad things that you did so God can use you, you've sadly mistaken, and you're going to waste a whole bunch of precious years on this earth. Because it's his power that's going to do it through you, supernaturally, in spite of how much of a failure you see yourself. So we're going to take just a few minutes here. I don't know how long, but we're going to take a few minutes here, and I'm going to ask you if that's you. There may be one person that walks up here. There may be five. There may be the whole congregation walks up here. I don't know. But if that's you, if you identify with that, if you know the Lord has chosen you, the Lord has called you, and you've responded to that call, you verbalized that in prayer, "Lord, I'm whatever you want me to do." You've said those words, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I want to be used of you in the capacity that you have chosen, the purpose that you have chosen for me. I want that." But then failure came, and you feel like the failures derailed the purpose and the plan. That's not the case. And if you feel that way or identify with that, I'm going to ask you to come to the front, and we're going to pray for you today. Not as members of superiority. We're going to pray. Don't be shy. Come up here. Come up to the front, because we're going to need to separate those who are coming for prayer from those who are going to pray with us. Now, we're going to come as brothers and sisters and lay hands on. Don't come up behind them and put your hand on their back. Come around front as the Lord leads you, and I want you to lay hands on and pray for these individuals who have stepped forward as the Lord leads you. And the rest of us, we're going to enter into a season of prayer here, much like we've been doing for the past few moments. Don't get quiet or check out. The Lord is going to minister. He's already been ministering, but he's going to continue to minister here for just a few more minutes. Would you pray together and let the Lord lead you to pray with someone who's up here? Let the Lord lead you in prayer here for the next few moments of time. He is restoring right now the years that the enemy has stolen from you because of feelings of guilt and condemnation from past failures and mistakes. The Holy Ghost is going to, in this moment of time, begin to restore those things to you. Lost years restored in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. By the laying on of hands right now, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Restore right now. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Alalala boshia rande yarana ba korro maria rana ba haye irande irondo ria rana ba shiki irondo robare yarana ba kaye irondo ria rana ba shia da yarana la boria rana ba kia na re yarana la boko ba ha irande irondo ria rana ba shia no roboria rana ba kaye irondo si rane ikarondo ria rana ba shiki irondo roboria rana ba haye I ronda ia sia la 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 borria la la bacchia da re la la bocco bahaye I rondo ria la la bacchia da rondo roborria ra da kaya la boscia da ye.
Come on, Peter, your day of Pentecost experience is just around the corner. You're stepping out in faith and authority and allowing the Holy Ghost to use you in spite of your past is just around the corner. That miracle is transpiring inside of you right now. I corroburi alla la bashi carranna e alla bocco baha. I ranne I carronduri alla la bashi alla baha kaye. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I robo ki arranne e alla la bashi alla la baha kaye.
Hit the name of Jesus. 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 Hit the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name.